Mr. Mark's Classroom, episode 100. I believe I can fly. Maybe not.
Mr. Mark's Classroom.
This is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership in childhood ministry.
Mr. Mark's goal is to resource you with tools, ideas, and a passion for leading kids to become lifelong followers of Jesus.
So let's get this episode rolling with the man that champions kids ministry today, Mr. Mark Jones.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 100. I can't believe it. This just proves how God is so faithful, because you don't know how many times I've wanted to quit this. This seems like one of those impossibilities to try to come up with subject matter or guest or whatever, and thought, there's no way this is ever going to go anywhere. It's not going to fly. And so I am very glad today to say we've made it to 100. And I know I've had people tell me just recently they've been listening to previous podcast. And if you go way back to the beginning, you can hear how very early in understanding and what to do. It all is very clear there. But hopefully we've been able to keep some content that'll encourage you and help you in kids ministry. And today I want to bring something to you I think is going to be a big help. I'm going to be sharing with you, I'm new, what do I do? This really comes from having an opportunity to have several interns that came through my ministry here at the church, and being able to invest in them in preschool ministry and children's ministry. And as they've moved on to their own churches to begin their own ministries, I've been very excited how God has used them. But it never fails. One of the first things I hear them say is, what do you think I should do first? How do you think I should get started? Because it's one thing to be in the classroom and to be walking alongside someone who's mentoring you, and then next have to step into a role and actually do it. And so I want to give you a few strategy points that might help you. If you're new, here's what to do. And if you're old, maybe you should think about some of these things too, because they might serve you well. So number one, have a 90-day goal. A 90-day goal. It happens that often we have people that want to actually reach for even farther than 90 days and do amazing stuff, and they've got so much already reeled in to try to get going that they don't take the time to learn the lay of the land, to learn what to do. So I'm going to say, have a 90-day goal, and in that 90-day goal, I want you to do some research. The research is very important. So before we move to research, let me just say, in that 90-day goal, what will it be? I encourage people that they would learn names. I remember going to one of my previous churches, and it was a larger church, and I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know anybody's name. I don't even know the streets in this town. And I found myself asking God to help me remember names, because I won't be able to build relationships with people if I don't know their names. And so learning names was very important. I even sat down with old pictorial directories, just looking through the pictures, trying to make any kind of association. When I had people come into the office and they talked, you know, everyone knew me, but I didn't know them. And so as they would even leave our conversation, I would look at the secretary and say, now, what's their name? Who are they? Who are they connected to? And to the point that the secretary didn't even have to be asked anymore. She would say, oh, that's Randall. That is so-and-so's grandfather, or that is connected to this other family. And remember, these are the two families that are, you know, she'd give me that kind of a history. And all of that kind of information helped me connect to who people are and help me remember them. I was even grateful if I could remember one of their names, if it was their first name or their last name. I felt like I could bluff it if I said, oh, hey, Mrs. Smith, how you doing, Mrs. Smith, or whatever. It just felt like I was moving forward. And so you've got to be intentional about building relationships, knowing people's names. So at first, you might just say, you know, I'm still learning people's names. Could you just remind me what yours is? And they will do that, and you'll appreciate that, and really look for something about them that might help you remember. This is kind of funny. I remember meeting a lady in the early church, and her voice was very hoarse because of an injury that happened in early adulthood. And so her voice was just very hoarse. Her name was Beth, and I always remembered Breath. Her voice sounded breathy, and so I never forgot it. I don't know what silliness you may come up with, but embrace it. Anything that'll help your memory, because your memory stinks. And so in that 90 days, go ahead and really focus in on learning names. And the other is to learn streets. Matter of fact, ask people, how do you get around to so-and-so? What is your traffic plan? And you go and drive it and start learning. I remember learning that an addition of houses were all tree streets. And as soon as I learned that fact, that those are where the tree streets are, or that's where the president streets are, or it's numbered from west to east this way, so you can be able to count it, or maybe it was east to west. But anyway, you'd be able to know. And Main Street is actually called Broadway. Those are just such important things. And people who are in the church, on the church staff, just in a little while, if you ask those questions, you would get so much more information. And one little tip that I might throw in your first 90 days is have lunch with people. Having lunch with people helps you know them. Matter of fact, let me just throw out there, have lunch with the secretaries. Often they're sitting around in a break room or they're somewhere eating their lunch. Join them. Just take yours and join them. Bring some leftover brownies from the night before and share them, but get to know each other and let them get to know you. People who know you follow you and they support you, and you definitely want the support staff of your church to know you. Why wouldn't you want them to know you? They're going to be some of the greatest strength in your ministry, so get to know them. That way they feel like they can approach you, they can ask you things, and you should have a great relationship with them because you're a team and you're working together. Okay, in that 90 days, just set some basic goals and don't run up there and try to paint walls or move furniture or something. You may touch a sacred cow that might bite you in the butt, and you don't need that. So you need to go ahead and just build relationships. Number two is do your research. Do your research. Now, there are things you need to learn, so don't walk in thinking you know it all. Yes, you may know how to guide behavior of preschoolers. You may know how to teach the books of the Bible. And you are amazing at all of that stuff, and you're antsy to learn it and show that, and really to prove yourself. I understand that. If you could put the proving yourself down for a few minutes, it will serve you well. Just be you, build those relationships, and then number two, do the research. Finding out who's the leaders, who's been teaching the longest, who's new, who looks like they're about to quit because they're so frustrated. See if you can become a problem solver. Now, that it never fails. When I've walked in as the new guy, I've had people walk up and say, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to quit. I've just been waiting for you to get here." And you're like trying to salvage them, but go ahead and ask, is there some reason why you're wanting to quit? Is there something I need to know that I need to solve? And they may fill up your ear with all kinds of problems and issues. But remember, that may be coming from sour grapes. Not a problem to go ahead and write those down. Let them see you be concerned that you want to solve those problems. They might hold on just to see if you will start taking action, since nobody has. But you can absolutely start solving problems. You just need to make a list of them. Don't feel like you're walking around with the word complaint department on your head. It may look like that. It may seem like that. But you are finally there. You are rescuing people from some issues, from some struggles that have gone on. And now maybe you will listen to whatever their heart is or what their need is. So you need to be problem solving. Now, there are things you need to learn in this research. And so don't go in without going through the prerequisites. Just like college, you don't go to take a foreign language class part two without taking the first part, because there is a prerequisite. You will always be hindered. You'll always be crippled by the fact you didn't know the first information. So this research part is very important. Be making very careful decisions that you're learning right now in this first 90 days, that you're learning these prerequisites, these things that people want to share with you. I think one of the greatest things that you need to do is gather up your workers, gather up the team, the leadership, and sit down, invite them to your home. I did this with my church. I invited them to my home. We sat down and we had a wonderful meal together. I think it was nachos. But we just had a good time getting to know one another. And then I got a whiteboard out and propped it up on the fireplace mantle. And I said, tell me everything that we're doing. I'm dying to know. Just fill me in. What are we doing? Start with Sundays. Now, is there anything on Sunday night? What about Tuesdays? What about Monday? What Wednesday? I mean, look at every single day. Don't unturn or uncover any hidden information that you might need to know, and let them tell you everything that you're doing. And then ask them, tell me, what are we doing well? And circle those things. What are we doing well? And hear different people say explanations about that, because that will help you grasp what they value or what they like. And then ask, what do you think we don't do as well? What would be like the top five that we probably could say, we don't do that very well? And so go ahead and draw a box around those. And then decide as a group, do we ever plan to eliminate any of these things, or do we need to give some serious help to some of this stuff? And just get their feedback as part of your research. That's important. Listen, another part of your research is to go ahead and get your contacts going. You're going to have to be deliberate about copying and adding to your address book whenever you're doing email other people's addresses. When people send an email that has several people listed on it in the email, you need to go through and capture some of those email addresses so you don't have to type every single one of them in. But you need to fill up the contacts on your phone. You need to get them on your computer, because later when things ramp up and they're very busy, you're going to be trying to plug in a contact or find an email address. It's going to slow you down. So get those contacts in right now. So what do I need to do first? I want to say, look at these five, try to find five things that you're going to problem solve, that you're going to try to work on in that 90 days, but no more than five. Really, five is a lot, because 90 days flies by. You're learning so much that's going on at that church. Every church operates similarly and very different as well. And so you've got the goods. You just need to learn the house you live in now, where everything's at and what to do, and which key opens which door, and when you're going to meet people, and how you're going to really start moving forward with this. So choose five things, only five, that you're going to try to problem solve. And you stay close to the people as you're working on that problem solving. Okay, number three. And I put on this on just to try to encourage you, a study group. A study group where everyone's kind of contributing. You know, think about it like this. I've had in the past, and I bet you have too, I've had people that I met with, other men that I met with. We were accountability partners, even one-on-one with accountability partners, where I was trying to really iron sharpens iron, where we were growing in our faith, growing in our conduct, growing in our ministry. And you need that as well. And so I want to encourage you to step into the idea after you get to your church and look and see if there's anyone else in ministry that's near you that you could meet, even once a month, would be wonderful. But I'm talking about once a week would be huge. So maybe there are some volunteers or some men that you could meet with regularly. Maybe there's staff people that would be a great fit for you, or just one-on-one with someone. But look around. Are there other ministers in your area that you would be able to say, tell me what you do when you deal with parents' night out? Tell me what you do when you're talking about the extended teaching time during worship, and learn from them and see what's going on. Just having those conversations will help you wrap your mind around how do you want to go forward, or how do you want to lead, and be able to be accountable. Yes, I've been in the Word. I'm reading through the book of James right now, and these are the applications. Let me share with you something I learned this week, showing them how you take notes in worship. All of those things, when you have an accountability person, you actually get off your duff and you do those things. Other than that, they really get slighted and you don't have that kind of input. All right. The next one that I want to tell you, number four, is figure out what you need. Figure out what you need. In this 90 days, you should be able to start discerning what it is you need. Fill in that blank. What is it that you need? Let me give you a couple of ideas. Do you need an assistant with more computer skills? Do you need an assistant? Do you need a volunteer assistant 2 days a week? Do you need someone to step up in another area? The idea is that you could delegate. Who would you bring to enhance your ministry that would make you more accessible to people, be able to be more on top of what you need to do instead of so spread out trying to just keep all the plates spinning? And honestly, when I talk about delegating, maybe it's not a paid position. It's a volunteer. Maybe it's a layperson. I remember finding, I went into a class of young adults and just said, our upstairs resource room is a wreck. I mean, there's no organization. Not only is there just a pile of stuff on the counter, but there's no organization. Is there anyone here that is good at organizing? Because I'll provide the supplies in order to make this be organized, and I would be so thrilled. So talk amongst yourselves, and then let me know if there's one or two or more that would take on the project of organizing our resource room. And afterwards, there were two ladies who came to me and said, we'll do it. I love organizing stuff. I love doing that. And so they did. And they took 2 or 3 days. They spent getting it all pulled out. They put it all back in an order that made sense, where people could use it efficiently. So it may be that you just need to recognize that one of these problems, I can go to a class and ask, who would like to take this mission? And they'll do it. Now, let me also mention to you something that you need to figure out. When I say number four, figure out what you need, it might be that you need more information about preschool ministry, or you need more information about nursery policies. Maybe you need more information about teaching children. And so whatever it may be, it's going to be the time where you say, in this 90 days, I am headed over to the public library where it's quiet, and I'm going to read. I have got to read up on what it is to teach preschool. I've got to understand what these people already know and try to pull ahead so that I could lead them. It may be that you have recognized an area of weakness that you just need to ramp up on. You need to school yourself. There are resources. There are podcasts. There are books. And there are articles. At Mr. Mark's Classroom, you can get a number of articles. And so you should absolutely ramp up on it. You be ready, because people want to follow a leader who is knowledgeable and can lead, who knows what they're talking about. And you'll have, and I'm going to just say it, preschool people who are well-schooled in what to do. And they're looking to see if you know about it as well. And there are also preschool people who are oblivious. They have not a clue what they're doing. They don't even know why the furniture in the room is in there, for what reason. And so I want to encourage you to go get the facts and learn about that. All right. Number five is to journal. I want you to write down everything. Again, we're going to say it. I'm going to say it. Your memory stinks and you need to write it down. Make yourself a note. Get one of those little journals from Walmart, or if you want to be fancy, go get a Moleskine or something from Barnes & Noble, where you can just write down and journal as you go along, because you're going to be able to go back and pull up information that's going to serve you well. But once you're crowding in all this information you're taking in, you're going to lose some very important stuff. So write everything down. Those notes are going to serve you in the future as you look back and as you find out what it is that you need to do. Okay, I'm looking at one more note, and I guess we could call it number six. It really is number six for me. Number six is remove distractions. Remove distractions. Now, I am ADD. I'm not diagnosed. I guess I'm self-diagnosed. I'm going to go see a doctor about it, though. But anyway, I just get so distracted. This is the truth. I was sitting in my office. We had a temp secretary, and she talked a lot. She talked to herself. Like, she talked herself through everything she was doing as she was doing it on the computer. She was extremely efficient, wonderful, but she would not shut up. And so I shut my door. I mean, that's the obvious thing. Shut your door. I could hear her. I could hear other conversations in the hall. You know, our intercom system, we don't even try. We just shout back and forth to each other. And so I put on headphones and played ocean wave music, trying to just concentrate so that I could do whatever it is I had at hand to do. I have to be completely removed from distractions. So sometimes, or I should say almost every week, I work on Sunday afternoons when there's no one here, because for one, the copier's free. But the other one is I can get more done when everybody leaves at night or on Sunday afternoons, and get really ahead because it's so quiet. Not even music. I just am so easily distracted. So a moment ago when I said go to the public library and read, it's because your house is loud, the church is loud. Sometimes you can go to another room in the church and be able to read or something and get so much more done. And that's great. Just do that. But you're going to have to get away. You really do need to get away. And so if you are ADD, you need to move those distractions. You're going to have to turn off your email. Believe this or not, you can put your phone on airplane mode without being in an airplane. Figure that. And so all it does is turn off the notifications, turns off all the beeping and buzzing and all of that so that you can concentrate. And you need to concentrate. And so when you have time to do that, you're going to go much, much farther. Well, I hope these ideas help you a lot. I hope they help you get started in the first 90 days of your ministry. And matter of fact, maybe you need to give yourself a 90-day retreat and just start over, because you haven't learned all the names. You haven't evaluated. You haven't really tackled what are the five big problems I can solve. And maybe you need to pull away and learn something. All of that is so key as you're getting started or as you're revamping into a new year. So if you're new, this is what to do. Listen, I'm glad you were able to tune in today as we went through all of this. I just need to say that we are working so hard to get ready for the Unwrapped Conference. If you would like to be a part of the Unwrapped Conference on August 5th, it is for teaching preschoolers. It is for learning early childhood education. We have a website landing page. You can go to it, MrMarksClassroom.com/unwrapped. And there's an early bird discount as well that maybe you can get in on. I know that it'll be a great conference to even bring your teachers to here in Oklahoma City. It's a one-day conference, and it'll be fantastic. Great stuff already planned. Also, listen, I would be so grateful if you will go and rate the podcast in iTunes. Matter of fact, this is number 100. I haven't charged a penny for this. I want to just keep giving because it champions kids ministry. But my tip jar is that you would go and rate the podcast, because when it's rated, it's elevated in iTunes so that other people can see it and start learning as well. So pay it forward by giving us a rating, and even a review will help so much in for Mr. Mark's Classroom. The next thing is that if you've got a comment or you've got a question, just put it in right here on Mr. Mark's Classroom on the show notes, the comment, and maybe we can get to that. I hope that you'll download the new book, the holiday book, for free when you sign up at Mr. Mark's Classroom, because we want people to have the ideas to be resourced. We are so glad that you're involved in kids ministry. We want you to do well. So until next time, remember that your ministry to children is a gift with eternal value. So go and make it count.
That's it for this episode of Mr. Mark's Classroom.
We invite you to leave your questions or comments on the show notes at MrMark'sClassroom.com.
Until next time, remember, your ministry to children is a gift with eternal value.
So go and make it count.